me just give a little breather here. Is there any questions on it or comments, something unclear, whatever? Angela, Ben, Cyril, Lena, Wayne, anybody? Okay.
Question. Yeah. This may be a little bit off topic, but maybe it's not who, but what keeps track of the karma, right? And,
yeah.
And is there a standard in which that is just, right?
Yeah.
And how is that kept track?
Yeah. Let me ask you this. You see, it's a very good question. You see, mind, sanskara, and universe follows the laws of nature. It is operated by the same laws of nature that you are familiar with. Mind also is operated by the same laws of nature that you have seen in the universe. So, for example, let's say, you know, you remember the old time clocks. You keyed, right? You put the energy with keying it, and then it tick, 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 it counts. How does it remember? How, when you infuse energy into something, how does it remember? How does it keep track of it? Your car battery. How does it keep track of how much energy is in it? Well, it's nature. Is a law of nature. Nature operates in that way. Nature knows how much energy is there because energy flows. When the flow of energy is finished, then the flow stops. In the same way, when the mind performs certain action, what happens is that it starts creating, it starts acquiring this energy of the action. So it stores that energy. It's like a, if you can imagine, like a ball of rubber, you know, flexible ball of rubber. If you push it in, it will remember that I was pushed. And when you let go of it, it remembers, it will come out. The spring, push it down like that, what happens? If you let go, it wants to go back to its natural state. Everything in this universe wants to go back to its lowest potential, its most natural state. And this is called what? In physics, this is called what? We call simple harmonic motion, right? Everything is operated by this simple harmonic motion, the whole universe. And it creates this, what we call sine waves of operation. So does the mind. So when mind performs certain action, okay, it creates certain deformity in itself. And that is what we call sanskara. And this sanskara then want to go back to its natural state, just like the spring. And that is what we call expression of the past karma. So every action you do results in a reaction. But that reaction is not instantaneous. That reaction gets delayed. If you do some good action today, you are bound to experience the good reaction of it. But that reaction may not occur now. It may occur 5 years from now. So, reaction, and so what happens during these 5 years? During these 5 years, this reaction is stored in your mind. Your mind remembers. How does it remember? Because it has been deformed by reaction. And that deformity in itself is the memory. And this deformity wants to go back to its natural state, like a simple harmonic motion, and this returning back to its normal state is the expression of the sanskara. We call it what? Fortune. We call it luck. We call it destiny. There's no such thing as a luck. Everything has happened and happens because mind is simply trying to express itself the way it was. Now, I just mentioned one action, but we are doing hundreds and thousands of action every day. So your mind is constantly developing indentation and expansion. Each one of them remembering each act and waiting to express itself. Good act. Suppose, as a matter of model, we may say that good act results in expansion of the mind. But mind has expanded from its natural state, and so it will want to go back to its state. And when it's going back, you will see a good fortune. Suppose, just make something up. Let's say you saved somebody's life, or you did some really good act, good action, and you created a tremendous joy and a pleasure and peace for somebody, for something. Created a good karma. This good karma creates a deformity in your mind, and your mind now is waiting to express itself, but it is unable to express itself until certain time in the future. And this is based on what we call three danda in Sanskrit, three variables, time, place, and person. When these three variables come together at one point, at one location, then that stored reaction expresses itself. So every action creates a stored reaction which expresses itself in the future. The stored reaction, the word for that is called sanskara. Sanskara means every action creates a stored reaction. And that stored reaction is called sanskara, which expresses itself in the future. So many times people use the word karma, but it's not the karma. What they mean is sanskara. Every karma is called it's a Sanskrit word. It's called pratyay mulak karma. Original action is called pratyay, pratyay mulak, mulak. Pratyay mulak karma, karma. Pratyay mulak karma means original action. So suppose, out of my free will, I saved someone's life, did some good action. It's called pratyay mulak karma, original action. Now this original action created some sanskara, good sanskara, which I don't know, but it created, and it is stored in my mind as in particular projection of the mind. It is stored. Suppose, theoretically, 5 years from now, I win the lottery, and I say, hey, I'm lucky, I got the right numbers, and, I won this 100,000, whatever, lottery. That is called sanskar mulak karma. Sanskar mulak karma. S-A-M-S-K-A-R-A, mulak, M-U-L-A-K, karma. That means that action, that karma, is not an original action. It is a reflection of some original action that was done before. Destiny, future, luck. Those are the terms we use for it. But also, when I win this $100,000 or some lottery, what happens? I do some original action as a result of that. Now I have $100,000. What do I do with it? I may do some bad action with it, right? So that sanskar mulak karma creates a set of pratyay mulak, original action. They create another sanskara, they create sanskar mulak. So it's like a wave in the ocean. If you throw one stone in the ocean, what happens? The water gets depressed, right? And creates the first wave. As the water rises, it falls. As it falls, it moves the other side up. So when you drop one stone in the water, it doesn't create one wave. It creates one wave, which then initiates the second wave, which then initiates the third wave. It waves are continued all the way till they reach the shore. But there was only one action of dropping one stone. And so what happens, this is what Lord Buddha also said, that that human being is stuck in this bondage of action and reaction. Our mind is subjected to so many action and so many reaction that happen as a result of one action. And those reaction in turn create another action, which create another reaction. So there is an endless chain of action and reaction. And if you imagine, we are creating thousands of original karma every day. And each one of those thousands are creating thousands and thousands of waves in our mind. So you can see our mind is full of these waves. And then imagine, you've been doing it for many lifetimes. And then imagine those waves interact with your husband, with your child, with your friend, with your family, and create new waves. Imagine the complexity of the universe that we have created around us through this energy of what we call mind and its action. Imagine the power it created. Imagine that stage in this returning phase. Imagine how powerful it is. All arising because of clear reflection of consciousness. Animals are not able to do that. Animal society is very simple. One who is dominant rules everything. That's it. Very simple society. When the clear reflection of consciousness gets present, complexity becomes enormous. And as a result, mind then starts its journey toward the consciousness. And this is the spiritual pursuit, spiritual meditation. So the intent of creation was to really give you freedom. The God created universe because ultimately God wanted its created being to return back to Him. That means to free us from the bondage of creation. We were created, we are under the bondage of Prakriti. I'll be talking about that too in future. But Prakriti is the operative principle of God. Consciousness and its operating principle. Operating principle is Prakriti. I'll be talking about it, don't worry about it if it doesn't make sense right now. But as a result of this clear reflection of consciousness, meditation and the spiritual journey becomes a predominant factor. And we come to a point where we have choice of doing karma, what kind of karma we should do, what type of karma we choose to do. And then Baba said that the wise person does what type of karma? Baba said that, you see, Prakriti dominates, and Prakriti is the one that is propelling this movement of this pratisanchar, right? So the wise person should try to increase the reflection of the consciousness within themselves. Because that was the purpose of creation. That was why you were created. And secondly, what they should do is to do that while following the laws of Prakriti. So you should try to increase the reflection of the consciousness, but while doing that, follow the laws of Prakriti. Prakriti are the operating laws of God, operating laws of consciousness. So you should do meditation, you should increase your reflection of consciousness while following also the operative principles, operative law of the universe. That is the best karma. That is the best person. Best person is one who increases the reflection of the consciousness while following the laws of Prakriti. Some people are what? They don't try to increase the reflection of consciousness, but they follow the laws of Prakriti. Then there are those who are indifferent toward reflection of consciousness and also indifferent toward Prakriti. Those are worse. And then there are those who go against the law of Prakriti. That's even the worst. So human being, wise human being, should follow how to increase the reflection of consciousness while following the law of Prakriti. Animals are those that follow the law of Prakriti but do not work toward reflection of the consciousness. Animals follow the laws of Prakriti. And laws of Prakriti are basically not identical for every creation. What we are subjected to is different than what animals are subjected to. And this is called dharma. Each entity has its dharma according to the operative principle, according to the Prakriti. Human being has a particular dharma that it follows. Animal has particular dharma that it follows. And whether it's a Buddhism, whether it's a Tantra, whether it's a Taoism, or the teachings of Confucius, or teachings of the Shiva, all of them, they all say what? Follow your dharma. Every being must follow its dharma. Human being has a particular dharma. It's called Bhagavata dharma. That human being must follow that. Animals, dharma is what? Ahara nidra bhayamaitamnumcha. Food, sleep, fear, and procreation and self-preservation. That is its dharma. It is supposed to follow that. Human dharma is to seek that original creator by trying to increase the internal reflection consciousness of, you know, inner reflection of the consciousness. This is Bhagavad Dharma. And dharma is the innate characteristic of each being. Animal has particular innate characteristic. Human should also has certain innate characteristics. And oxygen too, gold also has its characteristic. So dharma of gold is what? The electronic structure of the gold atom. That's its dharma. Electronic structure of the oxygen atom is, that's its dharma. You know, it has so many electrons in the outer ring and so many in the, you know, different orbit. Chemical properties of this object are their dharma. Chemical property of oxygen is its dharma.
So dharma is the natural state then?
Yes.
Right.
Innate, natural characteristic of a being. And humans' natural characteristic is what? To seek happiness. And it tries to seek that happiness first by material enjoyment. Because human being came from animal life, which was body-centered, and because it was a body-centered, it thinks that it will receive happiness by guiding the mind toward the body. And it is natural that we think in that way, because we came from that background. Doesn't make us sinner, doesn't make us a lowly, bad people, you know. It is the nature why we like to go to the animal lifestyle. But when human being dedicates his life to animal pursuits, what happens? After a while, that pleasure is gone. It doesn't satisfy you anymore. You know? You say, oh, you know, I'm no longer satisfied with this crazy material life. It's meaningless. It has no sense to me. Because you're a human being, you come to that realization, because your mind has developed to that point. That proves that human dharma, innate characteristic, is different than animals. Cat and a dog, what happens? You give them food, place to stay, happy. No problem, never. Doesn't need any more than that. It's good enough. And initially, human being will just say, hey, good food, good house, everything is fine, you know, great. But if that was the case, then the people with a lot of money and people with a lot of material objects would be the happiest people in the world. And you notice and you know that that is not the case. You know, Bill Gates, being the richest man in the world, what did he finally do? He quit Microsoft. He said, I'm going to dedicate my life now to Bill Gates Foundation. Right? What does that tell you? That tells you that human dharma, innate nature of human being, is different than the innate nature of the animal. So, following the laws of prakriti means following your dharma. So the wise person should always do good karma. And good karmas are those karma that tend to increase your reflection of the consciousness while staying within the laws of prakriti. Both of them should be maintained simultaneously. Okay, we are out of time. So let me end this here. We'll continue the next continuation of this topic next week. So quickly summarizing what we talked about is, what we talked about today is the how the law of karma came into being. We talked about why the law of karma is applicable at what stage and why. Right, we talked about that. We talked about clear reflection of consciousness. We talked about good karma, definition of the good karma, definition of the quote bad karma. We talked about crude and subtle aspects. We also talked about this cycle of creation, which is Sanchardhara, cycle of returning back, which is Pratisanchardhara. We said that Pratisanchardhara was motivated, propelled by the Vidyamaya force, and that creation is constantly being drawn toward the creator, whether it's a living, non-living animal or human. But at human stage, meaning a stage where there is a clear reflection of consciousness, there is a free will. And this free will then becomes the cause of accelerated spiritual evolution. And at the same time, whenever you have a power in your hand, you're also subjected that if you fail to use the power properly, that it also becomes the cause of degeneration. If you have a gun, you can protect yourself. But if you don't know how to operate the gun, you can injure yourself. So power brings with it responsibility. Human mind brings with it its own responsibility. If you don't follow the law of karma properly, you will degenerate below the standard of animal. Very quickly, you can fall. So that's what we talked about today, and we'll continue next week.